You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. This coming Sunday, as you all know, is the holiday of Purim. And for that reason, I would like today to look at Mizmor Kaf Bet, which, according to some traditions, is the Shir Shel Yom of Purim itself. According to some, it is not only the Shir Shel Yom of the day of Purim, but also of Ta'anit Esther. The Mizmor begins with a cry. Eli, Eli, lama azavtani? Right? A tremendously painful cry. The speaker does not wonder if God is there, but states as a fact that God is not present. This does not mean that God does not exist, right? But that God is not present, is not there for the person. God's absence is noted by the fact that he does not answer the person's cry. We see this in Pasuk Gimel. Elohai, ekra yomam velo ta'aneh, velayla velo dumiali. Right? He calls out to Hashem, and Hashem does not answer. By the end of the Mizmor, the speaker is planning the Sudah, which he is going to make, and the praises of Hashem that he will teach others to sing when Hashem saves him. Right? So we have a tremendous change from the beginning of the Mizmor to the end of the Mizmor. The path between these two extremes is an inner conversation, a struggle to find God where God seems to be absent. Now, it is important to note from the outset that nowhere in the course of this Mizmor is the individual in trouble saved. Right? God's salvation remains theoretical. The speaker's belief that Hashem will save him remains just that, a belief. One might be tempted to see this Mizmor as a simple expression of faith. Right? God helps those in trouble, and therefore God will help me. But two questions arise from this explanation. One, if that is all that the Mizmor is expressing, then why wasn't this belief present from the beginning? Second, a more troubling question perhaps, is how can one believe such a thing when we all know that this is not always true? That God, even if we believe in him, does not always answer our prayers and come to our rescue. In fact, this Mizmor reflects the inner conversation that this person Bitzara, right, this person who is in trouble, has within himself. It reflects the zigzagging journey, the seesawing ride that a person in a difficult situation goes through in order to find God who is not making himself apparent. In Psukim Aleph through Gimel, the first three Psukim of the Mizmor, God in the mind of the speaker is gone, right, is not there. L'menatzeach al ayelat hashachar mizmor l'David. Eli, Eli, lama azavtani, rachok miyeshuati divresha agati. Elohai ekra yomam velo ta'ane, velayla velo dumiali. Ve'ata velo dumiali. Right? Hashem is not there. The person speaks as if God has disappeared. In Psukim, Dalid through Vav, the next set of psukim, the speaker suddenly switches gears. Ve'ata kadosh, yoshev tehilot Yisrael, becha batchu avotenu, batchu v'tifaltemo, eilecha ze'aku v'nimlatu, becha batchu v'lo voshu. But wait, the speaker says, you after all are God. You are the God of Yisrael, to whom they always turned. You did answer them, and when they put their faith in you. The speaker realizes that this is not the first time in history that a person has found him or herself in a desperate situation. Clearly, others in the past have felt themselves to be alone. Right? And then Hashem did answer them. It's interesting that in the many midrashim on this Mizmor, they for the most part, there are others, but for the most part, talk about two different eras in Jewish history. Purim, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, and Yitziat Mitzrayim. Right, and so that second category of midrashim is reflecting that from the beginning of Am Yisrael's history, they have been calling out to God, and God has responded. But then the speaker jumps back to his own situation, right? Psukim, Zayin through Tet. Ve'anochi tolat velo ish, right? I'm a worm. I'm not even a person. Cherpat adam v'zui am. Kol ro'ay yal iguli. Yaftiru v'safa yaniu rosh. Gol el Hashem yifaltehu yatzileu ki chafetz bo. Historish mystery, the speaker is saying, right? Regardless of what has happened in the past, sometimes when one is in the midst of a crisis, right, it, despite the fact that there might be precedents for God's salvation in the past, in the midst of the crisis, it's sometimes hard to imagine that it can possibly be otherwise. All the precedents for God's compassion in the past does not seem relevant to the person who is at that very moment in such trouble. And the enemy seemed to mock the very idea that Hashem will come to his rescue, right? In Pasuk Tet, which I just read, that the enemies of the individual are speaking are mocking while speaking to the person, saying, Gol el Hashem yifaltehu yatzileu ki chafetz bo, right? You know, cry out to God, speak to God, and he'll come and save you. Yeah, right. Right? So that the enemies are mocking the very idea that Hashem might actually come to his rescue. But then the switch happens again. Wait, the speaker says in the next set of psukim, you did provide for me. Right, starting with pasuk yud, ki ata gochi mi baten, maftichi al shidei imi, alecha hishlachti meirachem mi beten imi eliata, al tirchak mi meni ki tzara krova ki enozer. Right, you did provide for me. He says, you brought me into this world. You gave me my mother's milk to drink. From the moment that I emerged at birth, you were there for me. Right? So now it's taken down into the personal. Right? Not only were you there for Am Yisrael in the past on some sort of national level, you were there for me from the moment that I personally was born. And therefore now what he says in Pasuk Yud Bet seems possible. Al tirchak mimeni. Right, don't distance yourself from me, right? But now, as opposed to the beginning of the Mizmor, where that's a foregone conclusion, right? God is gone. Now it's possible that the situation could be different, right? It's no longer an impossibility that God can be there for him. Then he continues, right, describing his current situation. Nevertheless. Right, starting with Pasuk Gimel, Sivavuni Parim Rabim, Abirei Vashan Kitruni, Patsu Alai Piem, Aryei Toref Vishoeg, Kamaim Nishpachti, Vehit Pardu Kolatzmotai, Hayali Bi Kadonag Names Betochmei, Yavesh Kacheres Kochi Ulshoni Mudbak Malkochai, Vilafar Mavetishpeteni. Right, and he goes on, my situation is desperate, right? Please. My strength, eyaluti, right, in pasuk kaf, eyaluti leezrati chusha, right, please, right, come, my strength, eyaluti, please come quick, right? So again, the situation is still desperate, but the possibility for Hashem's help is now present. Help has not yet come, but it is now feasible. Whereas before there was only silence, now there is the possibility of hope. Once this possibility is there, right, the speaker can then build on the hope and imagine a future where difficulty is behind him and he brings offerings to God and sings God's praises. The difference, however, and I must emphasize this, lies not in reality. God has still not acted in the Mizmor, nor has God promised to act in the Mizmor. But the difference is in the perception of the speaker. Before, the feeling was of being completely alone. And this has been replaced with a feeling of, I know you are here, can you please get me out of this? This reminds me of the well-known pasuk from Mizmor Kaf Gimel, right? The Mizmor right after the one that we are speaking about now. Which we actually looked at a few weeks ago, the pasuk gam ki elech begeit samavit, right? Even when I walk, right, in the valley of death, even when I'm in a terrible situation, lo ira ra, right? I will fear no evil, ki ata imadi, because you are with me, not because I am guaranteed to make it through. Now, granted, there might be that assumption, right, that the speaker in that mizmor is saying, I feel safe with you, I trust you to lead me through this. But if you look directly at the words themselves, it is the sense of not being abandoned that brings the person comfort, even though salvation is far from guaranteed. We do not know in our mizmor, in Mizmor Kafbet, what exactly is being described, right? We know that the individual finds himself surrounded by enemies, trapped and awaiting his terrible fate in the hands of gloating evildoers. The specifics, right, who the victim was and who were his torturers, these things are not told to us, as often happens in Mizmor Tehillim. The Midrash, in its typical style, connects the Mizmor to known individuals and events. And as usual, however, these Midrashic statements are interesting more because of what they imply about Chazal's understanding of the Mizmor than as a historically accurate commentary, which I will venture to say it does not actually intend to be. Many of these Midrashim on this Mizmor, right, as I mentioned quickly earlier, connect the Mizmor to the story of Purim. The most famous of these explains that the salvation of the Purim story unfolds like the light of dawn, right? This is connected to Pasuk Aleph, Lam Netzeach al Ayelet HaShachar, right? Ayelet HaShachar, there are many explanations as to what exactly Ayelet HaShachar refers to, right? Explanations which range from the very technical, there was some sort of instrument that would be played when singing this mizmor, to much more poetic explanations of Ayelet HaShachar, as we will see in these midrashim. The actual pshat of what Ayelet HaShachar means in the mizmor is less important, but what is more important is the idea that these midrashim are trying to convey. So, the most famous of these explanations is that the Purim story unfolds like the Ayelet HaShachar, like the light of dawn. If one wants to connect this to our Mizmor, one can say that, just to explain what that means, how does the Purim story unfold like the light of dawn? That the obviousness of the salvation that is occurring becomes greater and greater as the story unfolds, right? At the beginning, Mordechai finds out what's happening and he cries out. And then, I'm not giving all of the details in the Midrash. And then later on, Haman ends up, because of how the story unfolds, leading Mordechai around on the horse, one step up in the salvation. And gradually, the story unfolds, getting, offering greater and greater salvation for Am Yisrael until finally the end of the story, Layudim Haita Ora V'Simcha, right? That the final redemption of the people in the story is described as light. And if one wants to connect this to our Mizmor, one can say that in the Mizmor as well, the speaker realizes that even if God does not seem to answer his prayer immediately, this does not mean that he never will, right? Salvation comes slowly and subtly, and this is not necessarily a cause for despair. That God can be found even in gradual processes and not just in jarring sudden changes of events. Hidden in other midrashim, which we will look at, however, there are other ideas which deepen our understanding of the Purim story, as well as how one is supposed to go about seeing God when he is hidden. One such mizmor, right, and all of these midrashim which I'm quoted are found in Midrash Tehillim, as well as some of them in other places as well. One mizmor is on the pasuk Keli Keli Lama Azavtani, that first opening, painful pasuk. Zehu she'amar hakatuv v'haya or Yisrael le'esh ve. Kedosho lelehava uva'ara ve'ochla v'shito u'shmiro biyom echad. Right. So, how does the midrash understand this pasuk? Right. This pasuk from Yeshayahu. Or ze Yisrael. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. First, let's explain the pasuk in Yeshayahu, that Yisrael will be a fire, right? And the holy ones will be a flame, a torch, right? And they will burn in one day all of the thorns, the thistles, the weeds. The Midrash reads this. There are two different readings of this, but the Davar Acher is what we're interested in. Davar Acher, v'haya or Yisrael le'esh zeh Mordechai. When it says that Yisrael will become like a fire, that's speaking of Mordechai. The lehava zo Esther. Right, the thorns and the thistles that this fire will consume is Haman and his sons. Now, in order to appreciate what exactly this midrash is talking about, requires an understanding of the context of the pasuk in Yeshayahu. The pasuk quoted from Yeshayahu is describing the punishment which God will bring about by the hand of Ashur. Ashur, Yeshayahu explains, is merely God's rod. Right? Ashur, however, does not recognize this, right, and believes that, everything that it, Ashur, does is from its own power, right? And therefore, because Ashur doesn't recognize that its power comes from Hashem, ultimately Hashem will also show Ashur who is really in control by bringing punishment upon Ashur itself. So according to the pshat of the pasuk, the context in Yeshayahu, Yisrael will one day be the fire which will burn Ashur. The midrash reads this, of course, in a very particular way. The Eish and the Lahava, that's Mordechai and Esther, who will burn Haman and Mordechai. Right. So the midrash is reading the pasuk about Ashur as a metaphor for something that will happen in a different point in Jewish history. But from the context of the pasuk, right? From the context of what Yeshayahu was speaking about in general, the meaning of this midrash is clear. Just as Ashur was the agent of God, even though Ashur didn't realize this, Mordechai and Esther are God's agents against Haman, right? By all appearances, God was not there, right? Just like Ashur didn't realize or recognize that Hashem was really behind the scenes. By all appearances, God was not there, but really, Mordechai and Esther were simply God in disguise. This midrash is connected to the pasuk Keli Keli Lama Azavtani, right? And the midrash's answer to that painful question is, "I didn't leave you. I sent you Mordechai and Esther." Right? This reminds me about that well-known joke about the person who is standing on a rooftop trying to escape a flood, and the guy comes by in the rowboat and says, "Hop aboard, I'll save you." And he says, "No, I believe in God. God will save me." And then a helicopter comes by and tries to save him and says, "No, no, I believe that God will save me." And eventually he drowns. And he goes up to heaven and says, "God, how did you let me drown?" And God said, "Well, I sent you a rowboat, and I sent you a rescue helicopter." Right here, Mordechai and Esther, they're the rescue helicopter and the rowboat. This same idea is found in another midrash, also in Midrash Tehillim, where it says, hold on one more moment. This midrash, right, is again on the opening pasuk, right, about the words Ayelet HaShachar, Al Ayelet HaShachar, and it connects this idea of Ayelet HaShachar, right, this morning light, to another pasuk from Tehillim which talks about Shachar. Zeu she'amar ha-katuv ura chivodi ura ha-nevel v'chinor a'ira shachar. It is from Tehillim Nun Zayin, right, which translates as awake my soul, right, awake, nevel v'chinor, right, harp and lyre. A'ira shachar, I will wake the dawn. Amar David, right, David is speaking here. Ein kivodi klum lifnei kivod bori. My kavod, myself, or my glory, is nothing when standing before Hashem, the kivod bori, the kavod, the glory of my creator. Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Elazar bar Menachem Amar, ma haya David oseh? Right, what would David do? What was the way that he put this idea into action. Haya notel nevel v'chinor v'noten l'mala mirashotav. He would place his nevel and his chinor, his instruments, above his head. V'haya mina'er b'chatzi halayla. And in the middle of the night, he would get up to play. And he would play music on them. Right, all of the Chachmei Israel, the wise men, the elders, the scholars of Israel would hear his voice. The Omrin im David Melech Israel osek b'Torah b'shirot v'tishpachot anu alachad kama v'kama. Right, if David, the king of Israel, is up in the middle of the night, busy learning Torah, and singing God's praises, all the more so we should do the same. Right, and as a result, because of what David was doing, all of Israel would be sitting and busying themselves with Torah. Amar Rabbi Levi, Chalon haya patuach lemala mimitato shel David. Rabbi Levi draws a slightly different picture. The window next to David's bed would be open, uptucha letzafon, right, in the northern direction, v'haya kinor talui neged achalon. His kinor would be hung in such a way that it was right next to the window. V'ruach tzfonit yotzet b'chatzi alayla u'min ha-shevet bo. The wind, the northern wind, would come in the middle of the night and play the harp. V'haya minagen me'lav, right, the harp would play by itself. V'haya David omer urach chivodi al yedei mi, al yedei ha-nevel v'chinor. Right, I wake up because of the nevel and the chinor, and therefore ayira shachar, right? I will awaken the dawn. Ani hu de meora shachara, v'shachara lo meorer li. Right, I am the one who awakens the dawn. Right, of course, this is all based on the pasuk from Tehilim Nun Zayin that we read earlier, ayira shachar. Right, I am the one that awakens dawn. Dawn is not the one that awakens me. Right. What, of course, is the point here, right? What does this have to do with what is being described in this mizmor, right? That David is saying, I do not wait for the light of dawn to get me going, right? Instead, I am the one who is up first, and I bring, right? I kind of bring in the light of dawn, right? The meaning of this perhaps is clarified through the next midrash, right? The next midrash is a distinct midrash, but perhaps the message is the same. Davar acher urach chivodi uran hanevel v'chinor ayir ha-shachar midaber b'arba mechiyot, right? The what's being spoken about here is the different kingdoms that rule over Israel at different points. Ura b'vavel she'atidin la'amod l'chananya Mishael v'Azaria. Ura b'madai she'atidin la'amod lanu Mordechai v'Esther. Right? I didn't read the whole midrash here, but talking about the different individuals who stepped in and basically brought forth the salvation for Am Yisrael during that particular time period, and during the time of Madai, right? Parasu Madai, of Purim story fame, it was Mordechai and Esther who were the ones, right, who stepped in, right. They are the ones who hastened in, who woke up the shachar, right? So that it is these individuals, be it David, be it Mordechai and Esther, who are the ones who are there waking up the dawn, right? They are the ones who are causing the light to come, right? They are not waiting for the light to come by itself. Like going back to our mizmor, these midrashim are telling us that in terrible situations, when God seems to be absent, it is the behavior of human beings that tells us of God's presence. One final midrash, or actually two different midrashim, adds an important element to this, right? Which goes back to something which we already noticed about our mizmor. Right? There are two different midrashim which kind of narrow the focus of this mizmor as speaking about the story of Purim, and focuses not on the Purim story and Am Yisrael in general, but of the situation of Esther herself. One of the mizmorim, in both of the mizmorim, I should say, the mizmor is kind of placed within the story of Purim, I would say somewhere in the middle of of the fourth chapter of the Book of Esther, right? Perek Dalet, and that's the perek where Mordechai comes to Esther and says to Esther, you have to do something, right? You cannot sit back and do nothing when Am Yisrael is about to be destroyed. And so Esther then turns to Hashem and prays, right? Essentially prays this mizmor, right? Turning to Hashem, saying, don't leave me, I'm in this terrible situation. In one of the mizmorim, and again, both of these midrashim are connected to Ayelet HaShachar, right? That there's some sort of light that comes shining forth here as a result. In one of the mizmorim, in one of the midrashim, it is Hashem who is the light, right? Esther prays, and the light that eventually comes as a result of her prayer is Hashem, right? Hashem brings the salvation. Interestingly, in the other midrash, it is Esther who is the light. Right, so just to read the one sentence of each of these midrashim, right? It says, Kevan shera'a David beruach hakodesh be'ezel lashon atida liyot kora lahakadosh baruch hu eyaluti. When David HaMelech, right, the one who wrote the Mizmor Tehillim, sees that Esther would eventually call Hashem my strength, eyaluti, sider ale et mizmor lamenatzech al ayelet hashachar. Right, the strength, or the ayelet, the light that comes shining forth, according to this midrash, is Hashem. According to the other midrash, Esther, realizing what she has to do, calls a fast for 3 days, and then agrees to go and see, and then agrees to then afterwards go to speak to Achashverosh. The midrash on this one says, "Lachen ne'emar al ayelat hashachar." Lachen ne'emar al ayelat hashachar. Therefore, the mizmor says, "Al ayelat hashachar shehevi hashachar mitoch hachoshech." That she, Esther, brought forth light in the darkness. The key to these two midrashim, the most important aspects of these two midrashim, is the fact that the midrash is associated with Perek Dalet. Right? What is going on in the story at that point? Mordechai, as I said, has explained to Esther that she must help. She must go to Achashverosh, although she might be killed for doing so. That she must risk her life in an attempt to save her people. And she prays. She prays that the story should end well, that Hashem should come and save her. But and it is at that moment that God becomes apparent in the story. Not at the moment that everyone is safe and sound. Right? At that point in the story, neither Esther nor the Jews can take a deep sigh of relief. Right? That only happens, minimally at the end of Perek Zayin, and more accurately, probably somewhere in the middle of Perek Tet. Right? God's presence is felt, nevertheless, at this moment in Perek Dalet, when Esther understands that she has a role to play. Right? That she has to be God's agent. She has to be God's agent in this story. Right? And significantly, she does not say to Mordechai, okay, I'll do it because I know that God will get me through this. Rather, she says, I'll do it, v'chasher avadati avadati. I'll be the one to do it because I see that God is in the picture, even though I know I might die in the process. The end of the Mizmor, right, to go back to our Mizmor, has the speaker vowing not only to thank God, to thank God if he makes it through, but to teach others what God has done, right? And as a result, Yizkeru v'yashuvu el Hashem kol afsei aretz v'yishtachavu lefanecha kol mishpachot goyim, right? As a result, right, others will learn to see God too. Right, the word yizkiru, right, doesn't mean to remember. It's not like somebody has forgotten the concept of God, right? But to take note, right? They will notice God. They will take note that God is present. And so that promise that the speaker in the Mizmor makes, right? If the story ends well. Is not only a way of recognizing Hashem, not only thanking Hashem for what he has done, but it's a way of pointing out what needs to be done, right? What is the process by which one recognizes God, that one has to seek God, one has to find God? The Dan Mikra points out an interesting structural feature of the Mizmor, right? The first half, which speaks about the trials and the tribulations of the sufferer, begins with the words Lo Ta'aneh, right, towards the beginning. Anyway, God does not answer. And towards the end of that section, there are the words of hope, Anitani, right, that God hopefully will answer. The second half of the Mizmor, in which the speaker describes what he will do if he is saved, begins with the word Asapra, right, I will tell what God has done, and ends, right, with the concept of Yesupar, right, that God's story will be told. These two inclusios, right, these bookends, if you will, right, which kind of make distinct the two sections of the Mizmor, reflect the spiritual journey that has been taken by this person in this Mizmor. If at the beginning he expected God to reveal himself by answering his call directly, by the second half of the Mizmor, he realizes that more often than not, God is revealed by being sought out and by being spoken of by those who have found him. Purim Sameach to everybody, and Shabbat Shalom. Umivorach.